This podcast is brought to you by Mezcala Nursery, located at 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala, family-owned, family-ran since 2007. This place is my happy place, you guys. I'm there all the time. It's a giant piece of property full of greenhouses packed to the brim of everything you can possibly imagine, from your landscaping needs to houseplants to cactus and succulents. They even have a greenhouse solely dedicated to rare and obscure collector specimens. I'm talking, I've seen Monstera albos there. I've seen Thai constellations there. Rare collector specimens that I can't even find online, I find them there. If you head over to their Instagram, at Mezcala Nursery, they keep their stories updated daily of these plants that can come and go really quick. You could miss it. Make sure to go check it out. Not only that, they treat you like family. I bring my kids with me, you guys, and I always have an amazing experience. Such great customer service, so helpful, so knowledgeable, and prices that can't be beat. Bring them a price from another nursery, they'll beat it. Bring them a price from a big box store, they're gonna beat it. 6901 Orange Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90805. Mezcala Nursery. Tell them I sent you. Welcome back, everybody, to If Plants Could Talk. This is Garrett. I'm your host. This conversation took place on May 26th, 2021, with my guest, Cactus Update. Alex is a very knowledgeable and experienced grower who shares that common love for plants with his father, and it sounds like it was passed down, inherited. He spent quite a bit of time showing us and telling us about his collection and seedlings that he's grown. So this is going to be one of those episodes that you may want to go over to my YouTube channel, which can be found via the link in my bio on my Instagram at If Plants Could Talk Podcast. I very much enjoyed this interview and I felt like I learned a lot. And I also feel like Alex probably could have kept going for quite some time, but both of us were on a time crunch. So I hope you guys enjoy. Here's Alex. Cactus Update is in the house.
What's up? What's up?
What's up, Alex? How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's another hot and sunny day. It's actually a little cloudy, but pretty good day. How about you?
Great. It's been a busy day. It's actually hot for California. You'll probably laugh if I tell you what the temperature is, but right now it was 79 earlier. And I'm sweating bullets, you know, because it doesn't really get hot for us over here. I know it's funny. What's your temperature?
God, I think the high today was 99. And that's actually a pretty cool day. We're having a surprisingly cool May. Usually we're in the hundreds by mid-May. And so like we're still waking up to cool mornings, but soon enough, we're actually not until July, but there comes a point in the summer where you go out, you can't be outside. The wind doesn't cool you off. It feels like somebody's breathing on you, like so. But it's cool. Plants tend to like it, and I still like it here.
Where are you exactly?
I'm in Tucson.
Tucson.
Okay. Yeah, kind of one of the cactus capitals, I'd say, in the States. We got some pretty great growers here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know there's some good nurseries out there. I've been meaning to get out there. I've got a buddy that's in Scottsdale. So I would love to go out there and go check out some of those nurseries that Cactus Quest has toured. And I'm sure you've been to plenty of times. It's a blessing to be close.
It is.
It's such a centralized location for cactus, man.
Yeah, it can be a little enabling. Just be like, oh, I'm bored. I'm gonna go see what I see. And every time you go, you notice something you didn't notice last time. Not who knows if it's because they just put it out or because you were distracted by everything else. Yeah. But with the pandemic and the baby, I don't really just get bored and go for a drive anymore.
New baby?
Yeah, he's actually sleeping right next door. Judah, he'll be a year on June 18th. So
crazy. Mine just turned
pandemic.
One. Same pandemic.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I had one just turned one in April.
Oh, no way. Congrats. Yeah. What's the baby's name?
Sage.
Sage.
Yeah,
That's a
it's a
great
boy.
name. That makes sense. Is that, were you burning some sage just now too, or was that something else?
I was, yeah.
That
Yeah.
was great. Yeah, ours is Judah.
Very cool.
Super fun, man. He's our first. And he's definitely my best plant. That's what I tell people. Number one plant.
Dude, pandemic baby was crazy, huh? Having a baby in the middle of the pandemic was fucking nuts.
It was insane. I mean, my wife, she's amazing, and she gave birth with a mask on. Like,
Yeah. Yeah.
were you able to, it was just me and her, like
One
nobody else
person.
could be there. Yeah,
Couldn't leave the
it's
room. You had to like I had to pack
yep.
like everything, caught my own shit, you know. We got stuck there for like a week 'cause it was like a traumatic birth. Maybe not a week, it was a few days, but it was a traumatic birth and yeah, man,
Oh
that was an
man.
experience.
We were there 3 nights, because he was a little jaundiced and just
NICU.
whatever. Yeah, no, NICU. He was okay. Just they just wanted to keep an eye on him. But
Okay.
I'm glad to hear Sage is healthy,
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Judah's doing great too. There's so much fun.
So tell me about do you like to admire cactus and habitat being from where you are?
I do. Funny enough, for in Tucson, the saguaros, we've got some really gorgeous saguaros, and they're all doing something really strange right now. They're blooming a lot, and they're blooming not just from the new growth like they usually do, but from the sides. And I was watching a video about it. They're saying that they think it's because we've had some pretty rough summers and they haven't grown very much, so it's kind of a stress response, and they're pushing out an unusual amount of buds.
Wow.
And in strange locations, and they're dropping them. Actually, if you follow my dad, Dad Gonzalez, he posted a picture of a saguaro bloom that fell into one of his agaves, and it's pretty unusual. But yeah, we've got saguaros, we've got a lot of some Mammillaria, some Echinocereus, and some Escobarius and Coryphantha. The plants and the Arizona native plants I'd really like to see are like some Epithelantha that grow in the Dragoons, not too far from here.
Okay.
We've got some Echinocactus horizontalonius that's out in the Ironwood National Forest area, I believe.
Okay.
And then like up in the Grand Canyon, we've got some people call them Navajoa. I think they're called Pedio cactus now. There's these tiny little cute. I brought some to show because they're really cute.
Awesome.
But a lot of the stuff we have growing out here, I don't get too excited about, like Cylindropuntias, like Choyas
Yeah.
and prickly pears, and they're just like, yeah. Oh, and we have a ton of farro. We've got some pretty cool barrels. But I like when I drive around, I really like to creep on people's yards and see what they've
Landscape.
got growing, how they've landscaped, like a half a block from me, there's a really cool house where they've got like it looks like they've set it up by like regions, and they've got a South Africa area where they've got some big aloe trees, and they've got Welwitschias in the ground, and like that gets me a little more hyped than a
Nice.
teddy bear Choya might. But the desert's gorgeous. It took me a while to really appreciate the desert, if I'm being honest. We moved here when I was 5 years old from Mexico. So from the desert to the desert. Actually, that's not true. We were in a city called Los Mochis, which is a bay town. But I always just I didn't hate it, but I didn't think much of it. And probably once I started, maybe in my early 20s, when I started going hiking and mountain biking more and talking to my dad about plants more. And traveling more, like when you leave and come back, it was like, oh, this place is awesome. I don't, the heat doesn't bother me, and what a community of survivors. It's such a cool, like, I love the critters and the flora and the fauna, if you will. So it's an amazing place. But to long story short, I'd love to see any plants in habitat. I'd love to do a trip to Chile. I'd love to go to Madagascar. I'd like to go to the island of Abdul Curry. I just like being somewhere, just being immersed with the new space.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. So sometimes in our youth, we can't necessarily appreciate the beauty that's around us, or we take for granted
right.
the things that we have. And, you know, it could be even, you could even become, I could see how people could become resentful of their own area, and then they get older and then they look back and they're like, wow, how blessed am I, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's that, that switch when you realize the world doesn't revolve around you. Mm. And that most of the things that are happening have nothing to do with you. There's still a lot of people my age and older that can't process that. But yeah, I think that's a huge switch. Like,
yeah. How old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay.
36? Yeah, I think I was born in 85.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, my 36th birthday just passed. Sorry, I don't keep very good track of things.
That's all right. All right. I was born in 1990. Oh. I appreciate what sounds like extensive knowledge of botanical names and all the different kinds of species. I'm very happy to have you on. And as I told you before we started recording, I had a handful of requests for you, and you were definitely on my mind, as well as other people. Just so everyone knows, I see you. I'm just, you know, I'm working on it. I just started doing this now more full time, so I'm trying to get to everybody. But
that's cool, man.
Tell me, when did that switch happen? And what was that like? So the switch happened to where you started appreciating and therefore probably collecting. You said your dad, I think, something like that.
I inherited my dad's sickness, our obsession. It just took a while to ferment or whatever. But you know, and when I was younger, I would go to nurseries with my dad, and I would enjoy it. Just the adventure of it, and I would think the plants were kind of neat. What's wild is, you know, like plants for the Southwest, they've known me since I was in middle school. The Jane and Jean, they're wonderful people, and it's just wild to think about something like that. Like, I'd go there and pet their dogs. That was my favorite part. But you know, now I go there and buy plants and get advice, and you know, I could, if I don't say, oh, I gotta go, I could be there for hours, you know. But when it really clicked, I think, is when I stopped having roommates and started having more of a home. And when I was less interested in leaving Tucson and leaving the house, I decided I wanted to have a space that was, you know, satisfying to be in, and you know, maybe meditative, maybe calming. And so I would say, it was right around when I got my first full-time job too, when I started teaching high school. My dad gave me a few plants that I planted around the yard, and I started taking care of them and being really obsessive about watching them grow and seeing the first bud. And then I started building a little shade structure. So it was about 8 years ago that I really started collecting and growing, and maybe 2 years before that when I kind of switched and was like, this is nice. And it was also, you know, I mountain bike, well, not as much lately, but mountain biking is one of my absolute favorite things to do. And, right. you know, it's because you can go, and there's some trails out here where you'll go through four or five different, terrains and different, like, different surroundings. Like, you go through like, an Ocotillo forest, and then it'll become saguaros, and all of a sudden you're just by a bunch of cholla, and then it's just like barren desert. And the things you see along the way, you know, Gila monsters, rattlesnakes, falcons, all that stuff, just kind of, it's really awesome. For lack of a better word, it's just really cool stuff. Like, to stop in the middle of your ride, and because there's a desert tortoise in the middle of the trail, and then you look to your right and there's a blooming hedgehog cactus, a clear cup. So yeah, I think just when I became happier being in Tucson, it kind of came hand in hand. And my dad and I mountain bike together, and so it was just one other thing that we can bond over, which is really, really special. I hope to have that with my son someday. Great. But it'll be okay if he doesn't like them.
So it sounds like arguably you always had that connection with nature, nonetheless. And
yeah, just not not the investment, I think, is the half that was missing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And are you saying your dad's on Instagram? What is his?
Yeah. So I'll explain his handle. It's Dad Gonzalez.
Okay.
So with a Z, and it's because I always had him saved in my cell phone. I didn't like that even back when they were flip phones, when you'd put contacts in. All my friends had like mom and dad's just as that, but it really drove me crazy the way my phone organized things. And if I had a single name with no last name, I just couldn't handle it. So I put him in there as Dad Gonzalez, and my friends would see that a particular friend would see that he'd come up as Dad Gonzalez, and she started calling him Dad Gonzalez every time she saw him. And that's his Instagram name, Dad Gonzalez.
That's cool. That's so beautiful that you guys have that similarity and interest, and you have that bond and connection. I actually truly envy that. I don't have that, but tell me about your collection. How has that been? What's it been like?
So following with my dad, I think we have a lot of similar obsessions with him, with just a lot of the Mexican plants. It's from where we're from, and there's some really amazing plants there. So we both I'd argue that we both, our top plants are like Ariocarpus, and we really like Turbinicarpus, Lophophoras we really enjoy. I don't have a ton of them, but I did pull some out, like you said, like you asked.
Thank you.
I like Astrophytum quite a bit. He likes them, but not, so there's some diverging points. But really, there's not a lot of plants I don't like when it comes to cactus. I do have some euphorbias. They're pretty okay. There's some cool ones. But it's almost all cactus. It's mostly the Mexican ones, but I have some Chilean plants, like the copiapoa, of course. Not as many, like I can't keep up or keep track of it, if it's Ariocycee or Pyrocactus or one of the other names they keep switching around. But then I have some agaves too. I like them, but they don't always do well with me, and I'm not sure what I do to kill some of them. I've murdered more agaves, I'd say, than other plants, and I really like aloes too. Not all, most, there's actually, I'm very picky with aloes, but I like really toothy ones, and I love aloe trees. I guess it's aloidendron dichotoma, the quiver tree. It used to be an aloe dichotoma.
Okay.
I've got some that I bought at Plants for Southwest, in a 2-inch pot. It was a 5-inch plant, and had it for 6 years now, and it's like 5 feet in the ground. So just that kind of anything that feels like you're building a legacy, for lack of a better word. Like I love to see a plant and being like, I remember when it was this big.
Yeah.
I remember when I moved it from here to there. I remember when I almost killed it, when I had to cut the, like, I like history with plants. I usually buy small for more than one reason, that I'm cheap. I'm very cheap, but also I just think there's this intangible satisfaction of growing something.
Yes.
I would argue there's a little bit of a division of collectors, especially on Instagram. I think there's people that are trophy hunters more than anything else, for lack of a,
and or you know, flexers. They're flexers too.
Flexers. Like, yeah, that's the word, right?
You can tell a lot about their income.
Yeah. Right. Right. In some ways I benefit from the prices plants are going for. Like I can, if I'm, you know, I had a surprise hospital bill recently. Not like a tragedy or anything. It just turned out I owed more for the baby's birth than I realized.
Okay.
So I, you know, I sold some plants to offset the unexpected expense. It's just like, but then it's in the same hand. I can't just go buy a a copepola, number one, because you can't find them. If you can find them, they're pricing out most people. They are really beautiful plants. But I like to grow. I like to hoard. I think it's a little bit of an obsessive quality of mine that I just, you know, I started my Instagram not knowing there was a cactus community or a cactus craze. It was just that on my personal account, I kept posting pictures of my plants and putting hashtag cactus update, you know, kind of ironically. And I was like, you know, all my friends here, they're like mountain bikers and old friends, and they don't care about plants that much. I want to catalog my collection and growth, and so I'll just make another account. And that's how I ended up with Cactus Instagram, that now I've made a ton of friends, and I'm on that more than my personal account. It's kind of strange.
That's very cool. We just got the story of where the username came from. It was originally a hashtag showing the updates of your plants, their growth and stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty, it's a little on the stupid side, like most things that I do. Like... Not in a bad way.
Oh, I
yeah.
think it's cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's cool.
Yeah, appreciate it. But yeah, I take most things super lightly, so it's kind of nice that way. Yeah.
So something that I had Selegna Soul explore and was a feedback that I had received from listeners was more plant specific information, and you are once again another great candidate to explore that topic. So which of those, Turbino carpus, Ariel carpus, Lophophora, would you say that you have the most understanding and experience with?
I'd say, I mean, I don't, hold on one second.
No worries, we can always pause.
I'm gonna
go for it. Go for it.
She waved me on, so I don't know.
All good. Yeah, we can always pause.
Yeah, I just want to, like, I never claim to be an expert. I learned so much from others, and I experiment a lot. So, my Ariocarpus, I think, do pretty well. And I did bring a few of those. I just brought plants that I thought would be fun. I could talk about some stuff I've grafted, because I know that can be a hot topic.
Yeah.
So I thought this could be fun. I'll show some stuff I grew from seeds, some stuff I grafted,
Great.
Some stuff I like. Yeah, I like plants. So we'll show you this thing, because people get pretty... I get a lot of questions about this, and this doesn't... like to focus. I don't know if you can
pull
see
it. Back
it.
Just
can you tell what I'm showing
you? Pull it back a little bit. There,
there
you
we go.
Go.
There we go. Oh yeah.
Boom. Perfect.
So what do you think this is?
I have no idea.
So this is a young Ariocarpus seedling.
I wanted to
they call them micrographs.
Hold it back up. So it's a young Ario. Oh, is it focused yet? A little bit.
Come
back.
On. This camera drives me crazy. I think if I had my face.
It's all good. So it's a young Ariocarpus.
Well, yeah. So this is some seed I bought from a guy in Australia who's an amazing grower. It's Cactus Labs Australia with the K. His name's Andrew. Wealth of information, like knows Japanese cultivars and can give you the history of names. And it's a hybrid of a cauliflower and a Cochabayanus, so Retusis cultivar cauliflower.
Okay.
And it's grafted onto a fairly young golden barrel.
Okay.
And so when you kind of graft them onto
never
younger
that was
plants
a
like
barrel.
That, right? Yeah, who would have thought? You know, a year later, you end up with something like this. And this one is a little, I grafted on a smaller, God, this is the,
you can't even see
on
the
a smaller,
spot.
Yeah, it's hiding under there. And supposedly, I can't confirm this because I haven't done enough. It's focusing on the microphone. Let's see if I can get this. This whole podcast is going to be me pointing a blurry cactus at the camera.
There you go. I think that distance right there that you have is perfect. A little bit further back.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So supposedly after over time, those young stalks will kind of get, they'll burn out, right? They'll run out of energy. And the scion, so you have the stalk is the bottom plant, mm-hmm. and you have the scion is the host, if there's the parasite, if you will. It's kind of Frankenstein-y. It's like a little unsettling for people. It's always funny when I post a video, somebody gets really upset about how unnatural it is.
There's a little
debate. Fine. It is unnatural. There's not a lot natural about collecting plants from another country or continent in a plastic pot, if you ask me. So why Excellent. Not just get weird with it?
Excellent.
So, and then, you know, another while later, they'll keep growing and they'll kind of get like this big. These are all plants I've grown from seed and grafted. But if I didn't graft that plant, I don't think I brought one, but I have some that I'm still growing on their own roots. And they're not even the size of a dime yet. Like they're teeny tiny. So, you know, you graft for various reasons. For me, one reason is I want to see what they're going to become, you know, so you can fast forward, you can get 5 years of growth in a year. Really, I don't even think that's an exaggeration.
Wow.
And you can, you know, produce plants more quickly too. You can make seeds and graft offsets and all that stuff. So grafting is pretty fun, but if we're going to keep talking about Areocarpus, I'll tell you a little bit about them. I'll show you one of my favorite ones. This is a Lloydii, and there we go. If you can see, like the outer edges are a little purple right now, it's kind of dark green, and then you can see lighter green in the center.
Okay.
There we go. But the center is like glowing.
It's okay. It looks good on my end.
Good. So what I think a lot of people as far as how I care for Areocarpus and really all my plants, I try and repot annually. Almost everything I put in the same mix. People will argue and, you know, hold their breath over what the best mix is. Whenever anybody asks me, I say you should talk to someone in your area and see what's working for them. Same thing goes for watering routines and percentage of shade cloth and all that. Somebody asked me, how often do you water? I'm like, well, I'm watering every week right now, a deep watering, but it's 105 degrees in my greenhouse, 50% shade cloth sounds like a lot, but you know, the plants are stressed out, they're turning purple. Whereas that same routine for you might lead to rotten or bloated plants.
Right, right.
But that being said, I put it in a mix that I just learned from local growers. It's 75% pumice, 25% compost that I get from a rock yard. You know, I can go get a 5 gallon bucket of compost or pumice for $4 or something.
Okay.
Which is the benefit of living in a hot town like Tucson. You know, we have our drawbacks, but some stuff is cheap. And then I put a little bit of Osmo Coat in there, the purple bag, ornamentals one. I don't feel great about it because it's microplastics, but Osmocote is time release fertilizer.
Okay.
So these little, you'll see it.
Like the beads?
You'll see it in, yeah, they're little beads. And I don't think that I think they just leach out, and I don't think that the plastic ever disappears. So I don't plan on buying another bag of it. I've actually switched. I bought an inline fertilizer infuser. I can't think of the right word. And I always water with rainwater. I have a pump with a 855 gallon rain barrel that is usually half full. Last summer I ran out for the first time ever because we had an awful summer. It was a disaster. My pecan tree's dead, but that's fine. It's fine. But anyway, I'm going to do this inline fertilizer, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put, I use 777. Honestly, sometimes I just use Miracle-Gro tomato fertilizer. I'll use cactus. I just feed them. I don't worry too much because I only feed at half or quarter strength anyway. Cause you don't want to burn the roots and you don't want the uploaded plant. Like it's funny. My dad, has made me, self-conscious when my plants are getting too much water. He'll come over and be like, look at that fatty. And it's not really like judgingly, but I look at it and I'll be like, oh my God, look at that thing. Like there's, a mammillaria. That's another plant we like a lot. Mammillaria pterosae is, they put on a really good show. I don't know if you saw it. It probably had like 30 flowers at once. I made a reel where it shows up.
Okay.
But 1 year it was so big that it looked like just a green snake with little white dots when really it's supposed to be super compact. Anyway, kind of went on a little tangent there. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing great.
Ariocarpus, they don't want full sun. They take more water than people think. There's this, people think that you need to torture your plants and you don't. But what you need to do is watch your plants and know when they're not okay. By now you should see signs of growth if you wiggle a plant. I'm a real plant personal space invader. I touch them, I squeeze them, I wiggle them, I tug on them. When I repot something every few days, I'll just give it a wiggle or give it a tug. And once it's firm in there, then I feel good because I know it's really rooted in and grabbed on. I don't get quite as sexual with stuff like Gloria does, but I could appreciate
shout out to Queen Bitch Succulents.
Yeah, she's great. But you know, some people are totally hands off, but I check them. If I don't feel good about a plant, I'll unpot it and I'll knock all the pumice and compost off. And if I don't see fresh roots coming out, I'll trim it, I'll let it dry. And either I'll pot it again or I'll do something that I really don't like, but it really works, which is the water therapy. You know, you take your plant and you plop it in water for 1 day to 10 to 3 weeks. Uh-huh. And roots come out and it fattens up and it feels so wrong. But it works really well. And I import a lot of plants. Well, not a lot, but a lot of the nicer plants I've gotten, I'll import from Thailand. And I think Thai plants live a very pampered life. And what I was finding for a long time is these Thai imports, they would spend a year dying under my care, for lack of a better word. They'd be shriveling and shriveling, just holding on to life. And then the next year they'd finally root and grow and start looking really nice. But what I started doing with a lot of the Thai plants is just putting them in water therapy, waiting until there's a nice amount of new roots, potting them. And this is another thing that is ill-advised, but watering them right away. Because otherwise those roots from water therapy, they die because they're used to being kind of submerged.
Like wean them off.
And yeah, exactly. Okay. So you pot it carefully and don't damage the roots, because that's the issue. In water, the bacteria can't really grow because, you know, there's not a lot of oxygen. And so rot doesn't really happen in water therapy unless there was already a problem. Mm. But rot happens in dirt because there's oxygen in there, which is great. But if you damage the plant, that's when it gets a hold of your plant. Mm. So, yeah, I water everything on the same schedule. On my totally whirlwind description of how I care of things. And I just water things heavier that I know like more water, and I have to water things lighter than I know like less water. So it's very, it's not very precise. And I think a lot of people, when they ask me for advice about it, I think it's always a little bit disappointing. I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I water on Saturdays. Sometimes I water on Wednesdays too. Yeah, I've watered at night. Sometimes I'll water with tap water because I don't have time to use the rain barrel on it. That's fine. Yeah. Plants are tough if you grow them slightly tough. But when they come straight from Thailand, they are not tough. That's like cactus spa, like you know, the year round growing and the like right amount of humidity, and you get these plants that are like this big, and then a year later under my care it's like half the size because I just can't do it. I don't know. Let me show you some more plants.
Yes, please. I'm hearing that you're like a very technical grower, but you don't overcomplicate, is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Me. Like, you know, you're being technical, but you don't want to like have this super complicated process.
Right. Because I think that will take away the joy of it for me. It's already complicated enough at times. And I internalize a lot. I know that rainwater is better. It's got the better pH and it's got less junk in there, but I don't check my pH. And I just go by the seat of my pants that are hopefully the right size. But I really respect people that dive in deep into that. Like, I no disrespect there. I don't have the capacity, the bandwidth for it. It's just, I've got other things going on.
But you're not quite a hard grower either, right? You're more like in the middle.
Yeah, I think I would say I'm in the middle. I can think of a lot of people that grow them much harder than I do, and I can think of people that all their Areocarpus are green, right? And they're not a stress to them. But I mean, I brush them. I like to have a clean plant. Mm. So yeah, that's my goal, is a little stressed, but clean is what I go for. Great. Of course, the grafts never look like that. Here's some
nice
Lophophora. Spilling some dirt on my laptop. That's okay. So I think it's really satisfying to grow from seed. I really recommend everybody do it. Expect to lose, to kill a lot of plants in the process, and figure out what works for you. But those little cuties are a year and a half old. And they'd probably be a lot bigger if I had separated them. But I just, you know, I had a baby. Well, I didn't, my wife did all the work.
Very cool.
Who, by the way, it's Gina Becca is my wife, and that's her handle. She's a really amazing artist and human being.
Shout out to Gina Becca.
She's the reason I built a bigger greenhouse. I was planning on a 10 by 12, and she was like, why don't you just build something bigger? You know you're going to need this space.
Look at that specimen.
What is that,
a super white?
Finally. You know, I would call it a super white if I was allowed to. It's just a freaky eye. It's from my dad. This is actually one of my very first plants. He gave me this for my birthday, I think like my 25th, 26th birthday. I don't know. But it's one of my absolute favorite plants. And I go and I give it a squeeze. I love squeezing Lophophora. Some people call them Lophophora. I don't know.
It's funny, all the different pronunciations. Like, you just said freaky eye. I've heard freaky. I've heard I've heard all kinds of different things.
So my dad and I, both of us, are Spanish is our first language. So it's, I think, our natural tendency to think of them in Spanish first, even though I know some of them, like Areocarpus fissuratus, because of the fissures in the skin. But I don't always say it. And I talk to people Areocarpus, and that's cool. I'm probably the one saying it wrong, and that doesn't bother me because language is weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. That's
like Queen Bitch Succulent said it. I say it the way I read it. You know, that's what she says.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I always just say, hey, English is my second language. What do you want from me? Here's a graft of a variegated. This is also freaky eye. It worked really well when I got it. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So pretty cool. I like variegated plants. I don't do a lot. I wish I knew more locality info. I think it's super interesting. But if I have the info, I write it on the tag. But I don't collect localities so much.
Okay.
I just see plants I like and connect with. Here's another one. I'm not sure how people say this one. I call it Geis Pitosa. That got a little. Oh, come on, give me Got a little etiolated. It's got some like bowling pins, is what I've been calling them.
Oh, wait an hour, yes.
Just putting it down.
Very cool.
But it's pretty cute. I got this one from my friend, Alex, another Alex. He keeps changing his username. I think it's ariocarpus.cv now.
Okay.
Little trade. And those are, I think, all the loaves I brought. I just brought some of my favorite plants. Like, I would love to go to the Grand Canyon or to Coconino Valley and see some of these guys. And they used to be called Navajoa.
Nice.
But they're Pediococcus pubilionis. This is a variety of Menzelii. I'm not really sure how you say any of those. So, super cute. Little dwarf guys with these really fat spines. This is a cute pot too.
Yeah.
I call things cute when I like them. So sorry if I channel a sorority girl. I don't know.
Femininity. Okay with it. How dare you? How dare a man have any feminine aspects to them?
Totally
it
right.
It is cute.
From there. This is by Ryder. It's actually more gnarly, right? It's like I feel like I could bludgeon someone with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice guy named Ryder. And here's a plant. I think I get asked if I'd sell this probably more than most other plants. I mean, other than like any time a loaf of flora pops up and shit. But this is one of my favorite plants.
Ooh.
This is a... Can I give us a focus?
There you go.
So this is a Coryphantha elephantitis.
Okay.
And this is a cultivar. So there's a variety that they call Brevis venus, short spines. But this is a cultivar of that variety called Titan that has really short, fat spines. Nice. And when I water it, the spines, they're like orange. It looks like a character out of Super Mario, like a Bowser shell.
It does.
Pretty sweet.
It does.
Yeah. And then... I really like cultivars in general, and cultivars are really interesting because you can't. Cultivars are descriptive; they're not genetic. So just because you bought seed from a cultivar, you're not guaranteed to end up with any of it.
Okay.
So like this is a buffalo spine astrophytum.
Okay.
You see the nice chunky woody spines.
I've never seen those before.
Yeah, this is another little less common one, that and the Titan. So it gets these, it's a Capricorn, which I think means goat in Latin or Greek, I don't know.
Okay.
And then that one gets particularly fat spines that gets it the cultivar name of buffalo. But you know, you could grow 100 seeds of it and only end up with 10 of them that you get to call buffalo, which is the case for like Godzillas and cauliflowers, and even like Lophophora, people say you're buying an Ebo or an Uebo or Yataka, all that. It might not be, but you know, it's kind of like gambling.
Now, how can you identify for certain? Is it just visual, or are you saying
it's like... only visual?
Okay.
So with time.
Okay.
So for example, here's an easy one to identify: an Astrophytum V type.
Okay.
See, you can tell by the V's, right?
Uh-huh.
So I bought 50 seeds. I grew this little cutie from seed February 2019. So pretty nice. It's about the size of a quarter now.
Beautiful.
I bought 50 seeds like on eBay, so it was already possibly a scam.
Right.
And out of those 50, I ended up with 10 V types, which is not bad. You know, 20% success rate.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I'll show you two more plants I really like.
Yeah.
Whatever else. Coptrophoas are super hot right now. I don't know if you know.
Yeah. I heard.
So I was really excited. Yeah, last summer I got this guy. And they're not really on the radar as much unless you're like a super obsessive for diving deeper.
An obscurist.
Just because they don't get that farina or... I don't know if they're obscure or not, but this is a Solaris.
Okay.
And I got it in a trade. I traded like 7 plants for it with a really amazing grower in New York, Scott Lesko. He's nice. On Instagram, Lesko Cactus.
Nice.
He doesn't have any more to trade, so don't ask. But I think even though I traded him a whole bunch of plants for it, I think he was still being pretty generous in his trade. And Solaris are really difficult because from what I've been told by, I don't remember who, growers or another friend, is that people haven't been able to get them to produce seed in cultivation. So a little gray area there about, you know, whether it's okay to cultivate from wild collected seed or not. Because I know there's books that say that there's no seedlings growing in the wild in Chile of many of the really popular plants. But Stefan, the cactus explorer, mm-hmm. Stefan Berger, he goes there and he and I have chatted a lot, and he says that he sees seedlings there. So there's always new and different and changing information, right?
So on the safe side, what would you say on the safe side, it would be ethical to not, or?
I think I think it would be best left to the experts who will successfully propagate them. Yeah. And I think I would be most comfortable with an established institution collecting and growing them.
Yes.
I like that. You know, it's one thing like I'm thinking in particular plants that are in trouble, but you know, if I go out, I wouldn't feel weird if I was on a hike and I collected a saguaro fruit that fell on the ground. I would not feel like I was threatening the saguaro population.
Okay.
And there's a weird point. There's no absolutes with ethics and morals, right? Right. It's not black and white because all plants come from the wild. And I've had some people try and use that as a trump card, being like, you know, well, all plants were taken once, so why can't I take now? And it's like, yeah. Well, because you're being a dick. You can get them ethically. So yeah, I guess it's a non-answer. I haven't fully processed how I feel about taking seeds or not.
Well, I appreciate your stance. I'm very interested in that, actually. I'm coming to learn about it. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the ones that are pretty in demand. Cineraria.
There she is.
Yeah, and mine's actually, you're not going to believe this. I got this.
Look at those spines.
4 years ago for $6.
Shut the fuck.
Because
people are rolling in their graves right now.
So, you know, no problem for me. I just point that side back. But yeah, I don't think even a damaged one could be found for that much anymore. So I really like, as you might have noticed, I like interesting spines.
Yeah.
So these are my last two. I'll show you because this is a copepo I grew from seed. I have a few, and focus. Oh, it tries. This is a young Columna alba, and there we go. Nice. You can see the tag. September 2018.
Yes.
I think is reversed on my screen.
Yeah.
So they're not fast. And this is one of the fastest. The biggest of the siblings and most vigorous, but I'm really excited about it. This is that satisfaction of growing from seed, right? Like it's super cool to look down and see something that you've been cultivating and that you can check the tag and be like, wow, I remember that when that was smaller than a pea and thought it was gonna die. So I can't. When people ask me about growing from seed, I try and share as much information as possible because I want everyone to do it. I want people to enjoy growing because, I like that plant more than that big cinerea. I like plants that I've gotten from my dad more than plants I've gotten from Thailand, you know, because it really is. I mean, it's, for lack of a better word, it's an emotional connection. I actually care about this plant.
It's like your baby.
This other plant, it's like. Yeah, isn't it? I mean, a lot of them.
And you can pass it down. I can imagine what it will be like to pass that thing down, too, you know, to your kids.
And at that point, I'll have my dad's plants, and it's going to be a problem. Here's another cute spined one. Gymnocalyceums aren't on a lot of people's radar, but I think they're super satisfying. They're pretty fast growers. They're pretty forgiving. You can water them a lot. They flower abundantly, and they're pretty inexpensive. So I don't know. That's my plug. Don't go drive up the gymnocalyceum prices, but check them out. There's some really cool ones. What are some of your favorite plants?
Treading some territory. No, bro, thank you. First of all, we're already almost done. I promised my lady that I would only do an hour. We got 12 minutes. I want to say this.
Okay, perfect.
I'll tell you, I'll answer your question, but your show and tell was perfect. You did it at a good rate because most of the people are just listening, you know, but I know that the real cactus freaks will come and watch this. So I would love to end with like 10 minutes of discussion. So for those that are listening, you know, don't feel too left out, but that was great. Thank you very much. And
sure.
I appreciate you just sharing so much information, man. And I'm going to learn a lot from this for sure. I've come to appreciate Copiapoa. I think that they're overrated, to be perfectly honest. But I'm not saying I would love to have one. I've really fallen in love with like Lophophoras and Trichocereus more so than anything. That's what I really like. Huh. And I appreciate Areocarpus and all things cactus. I mean, I just got a really cool mammillaria, but yeah, I mean,
sweet.
To me, like I'm not as hardcore as a lot of people, you know. I just love plants. I don't know a lot of technical things.
I feel you, man.
You know,
I mean, I didn't know much either. Like I learned from talking, and I'm still learning a lot. And like I would never pretend to be an expert. And
sure.
Like I love all. I'll tell you the one thing I like houseplants too.
Yeah.
I joke around that I don't, but they're really cool. And some people have given me plants, and I like taking care of them. And they're in some ways more instant gratification with those things because you see growth so quickly with them.
Sure.
So it's there's no reason I wouldn't have any hangups about not knowing stuff because I don't know so much.
No, yeah, and you struck me as knowledgeable but humble. You didn't come off as somebody that thinks that they're an expert, but you definitely have the knowledge and the expertise, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. What was I going to say? Oh, okay. By the end of this project, I'm going to probably be one of those people that's more hardcore. Not that this project is ever going to come to an end.
No, but
I think more and more I'm getting sucked in. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm like I'm starting now. I've been experimenting with these technical things, and I'm taking it more seriously. You know, but I don't want to lose that like I don't care attitude kind of thing. I just like plants, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. You know what? I think that's great. I like to say I feel that way too. Like social media is a hell of a drug. Like people get worked up. It affects the ego super hard. It makes competitions, but I'd like to say I hope I come across as somebody that doesn't care that much and that I'm just having fun and sharing and chatting. Like I've made a ton of friends. You know, if tomorrow came and Instagram was done, I would still be doing all the same shit you see me doing. Like that's it.
That's what separates the real ones.
I think so.
I didn't even know about the online plant community until last year. You know, I didn't know it existed.
I mean, I haven't been around that long either. I think 3 or 4. It's just like, but it's super cool. Like I've made friends all around the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what's crazy, just a quick tangent. My dad was you know part of the cactus internet world where he would, you know, back then it was in email forums where, you know, you would have your nightly exchange and you would respond. And like he was getting plants from friends that way too. So it's always been around in one way or another.
Sure.
It's just become far more visual and instant,
right?
Which is cool. But
I imagine it was like message boards in the early days. On the flip side of that, I do find myself comparing myself to other people too. Like, oh, my greenhouse isn't good enough because it's a plastic hoop house, or you know what I mean? I'm just, and then I'm like, I want, you know? And I'm trying not to let myself get like that, dude, because it's like, I gotta appreciate what I do have. And I'm not like balling by any means. So you will not see a copy of Poetis and Araya in my collection anytime soon, you know? But yeah, that was just my little rant about that.
I feel you, and evil. I think it is. And like, I already have my enabler, my dad, and I. It's dangerous because I'll tell him, "Hey, I'm scooping up some of these. You want some?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Sweet. I wasn't gonna buy them unless you said yes." And the next thing we know, we're doing a big order of plants. But he also, I think we can also pull each other back. Like, I think that
accountability.
Like I. Yeah, and like I'll do like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And like, "It's too expensive." I'm like, "Yeah, right, it is too expensive." So I think my cheapness keeps me from going insane. You know, I've had some friends that will just say that they felt like they were in a competition to buy the best plants and the best pots, and
it's absurd.
It's just like, well, I'm sorry, I hope you like growing your plants. But I totally understand, you know, no judgment. I'll see stuff and I'll be like, "Damn, I wish my greenhouse was that nice. I wish my yard was landscaped. Like, you know, I wish
people
I could
looking
that
at your account and feeling like that for sure."
Yeah, I mean, coming from an absolute like I could never buy a plant again and be busy for a decade with what I have. So.
Yes. Dude.
I recognize, I know what I have, and I'm really lucky that I can find things that, you know, I don't pay a lot for plants, I guess, is the, like, I think the most I paid for a single plant was $175.
Wow.
Which doesn't happen a lot because, you know, I used to be a high school teacher, and now I'm working at the university, but it was a parallel thing, so I've always had being frugal at the center of things, and we just like, you know, my wife and I, we don't buy new cars and we don't do a lot of things that maybe that's where I get my cactus budget from.
Well, I really
and
like,
I also tree lights. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I really like what you just said, like you could be satisfied with what you already have currently, never buying another plant again. Me with my dwindling in comparison collection to yours, I feel the same way. If I could just keep and care for what I do have, I could die happily. It's fine. I want you to field some. Sorry, I'm just kind of jamming through.
Oh yeah,
I
go
want
for
you
it.
To field some questions that I got from.
Yeah, let's hear.
Speaking of social media, Rome Cactus said, "What was the first genus/species that really deepened your love for cacti?"
I think it was. Honestly, it was ferrocactus because my dad gave me some ferrocactus pilosus, Gracilis pilosus. It's like, it's these little hairy fibers at the aerials. Uh-huh. He gave me some he grew from seed, and I put them in the ground in full sun, and they didn't die, and they're still growing. And it's just like, how cool is that? And I remember that my first cactus ever was a ferrocactus covelli. I'm not sure how to say it. That I picked out in middle school that's still in my dad's backyard that we planted together. So really, one of the most common ones is the barrel cactus.
Very cool. Very cool. Shout out to Rome Cactus. I'm actually going to be interviewing him here soon. He was one of the people that told me he was really excited to hear your episode. BM4N47 said, "What got you into the world of cacti?" I think we kind of talked about that, but maybe we should answer his question just to be.
Yeah, let's just say it's hereditary. It's all my dad's fault.
There's another question. Go ahead, please.
I'd say for the longest time, the majority of my collection was plants that my dad gifted to me. That's not the case anymore because it's gotten a little out of hand, but I still know which ones are from my dad.
Yeah, that's cool. This person, I should have done this earlier, bro. I'm sorry. I'm such a procrastinator, and I've been doing episode after episode lately.
You've been busy, man.
I've been fucking pumping out episodes the last few days. the last question. I should have posted this a couple of days ago so everybody could have got their questions in. But how did you get your lops? I think that maybe they're trying to say, how did you get your loaves? Do we want to answer that question?
So, yeah, sure, whatever. I've actually, you know, I've talked to APHIS agents about what is actually illegal. Mm-hmm. California is a different world. I think they're all banned. I think it's the whole genus. But supposedly, and you can quote me, but it won't make it any truer if I'm wrong. it's just Willamsii that is not allowed. And it's just plants as far as importing and selling goes. But all the other species, Diffusa, Freakii, you know, Gaispitosa is a subspecies of Williamsia, so I wouldn't be comfortable getting those. But so some I got from my dad, most of them. Some I've traded with friends. I've gotten some from Thailand with paperwork, you know, I don't grow and show off Williamsia because that's the big one. But that being said, I also think it's very easy for something to be identified as a Williamsii. So that's actually why I don't have that many. I mean, I have a few, right, compared to a lot of people. But if you compare the Areocarpus and Astrophytums that I have to the Lophophoras, it's like a tenth of the size of the collection. And that's just because I don't want to make a mistake. They're cool plants, but I don't, it's not worth it. I'm not that obsessed.
Now, are you saying legality wise, there's a difference about those to possess? Is it to possess?
Yeah.
Cultivate, sell?
To possess, to import, to sell.
I did not know that. And then this is nationwide?
Yeah. So Williamsii is the one that has the, actually, I don't remember what it's even called. You can tell I'm not, you know, if you're into it, that's totally cool. But I'm no psychonaut. I've never wanted to eat one. Mm. And if you have, that totally cool. I'm into spiritualism. But I can't remember the name of the chemical in it anymore. Wow. Mescaline? I have to ask Google it. Mescaline. Yes. Mm. Thank you. Jeez. That's the one that has mescaline. Supposedly the other species don't.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And that's the, class 3 substance or whatever that is federally prohibited. The whole history of that, I don't know a ton about it, but I think it's stemmed in oppression and goes along with a lot of the marijuana laws that were passed too. So it's exciting to see states legalizing that kind of thing. And I'm hoping it continues because I don't know. I don't feel bad for somebody when they make a post cussing out customs for destroying their plants that didn't have paperwork or that are illegal. I understand you're upset, but you can't get mad at customs. Like, you knew what you were doing wasn't right. And especially, like, for me, it's not even about, you know, mescaline or not. It's about, are you importing plants with pests and fungus, and like, are you introducing a new super mealy that's gonna come and destroy our plants? Like, are you thinking beyond your personal needs, or are you just mad because you didn't get a new trophy? I don't know.
I appreciate
that's a little judgy.
No, that's okay. I appreciate what you just said, and I totally can respect that. Yeah, dude, thank you very much.
Yeah, man,
I really appreciate you being willing to do this, and I hope that, you know, there's further topics we could explore in the future if you'd be open to it.
For sure, anytime. Yeah, and you know, I really enjoy what you're doing. I feel like I'm getting to know people in the community with that some people, a lot of them I've talked to, but you know, sometimes all you talk about is plants, and there's a whole person there, so it's nice to get to know a little more. I like that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Cactus update, everybody. If everyone could please like, review, and subscribe to the podcast and hit that share button, I appreciate that. Thank you.